than 200 years ago, a Muslim boy from Bihar lost his father, enlisted with the East India Company, and set off on a voyage that took him to remote corners of India. By the late 1700s, he arrived in England and floated two business ventures, an Indian restaurant and a bathhouse. This is the story of a man who rose from the boonies of colonial India and introduced the world to one of its most ubiquitous pieces of toiletry, the shampoo. You are listening to India Uncharted, History You Missed in Class, written by Amit Shandilya and narrated by Vijayan Menon. The practice of washing hair with more than just water dates back to antiquity. Early societies of the Indian subcontinent used various plant derivatives for the job. Many in rural India still do. One common method was to boil Indian gooseberries with some soap berries along with a bunch of other assorted herbs. The boiled extract was then strained to be applied to the scalp as a primitive shampoo. The key ingredient here was soap berry, also called soap nut. The plant belongs to a genus called Sapindus and is related to the lychee family. The fruit is a small drupe with two or three seeds and a blackish leather-like skin. Its pith, when crushed and boiled, gives a solution with detergent-like properties, and that lends the genus its name. Sapindus comes from Latin sapo, which means soap. Even in medieval India, soap nuts ruled Indian scalps. So much so that the plant finds mention even in works of Guru Nanak, the 16th century founder of Sikhism. Ancient Indian texts reference this fruit as chuna and the lather it creates as phenaka. Although the most popular, soap nuts weren't the only cleaning agents those days. There was also shikakai, a kind of tropical acacia found all over the subcontinent. A paste made of its fruit pods, bark and leaves was considered an excellent ancient shampoo. Although it doesn't lather as well as soap nuts, many...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?